Welcome to the God Be Crazy podcast. We're your hosts, Christy Penny
and Bonnie Thomas. We are best friends with a joint mission to tell the world all about this crazy God who loves us. What kind of crazy, you ask?
Urban Dictionary defines crazy as someone who goes against the rules, a person who acts in a manner that normal society doesn't approve of.
We would add that crazy can be defined as enigmatic, meaning mysterious or speaking in riddles, often misunderstood.
God tells us in Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
Yet even though he is enigmatic, he tells us in 7 places in Scripture that if we seek him, we will find him when we search with all of our heart. Journey with us as we seek him and explore even more evidence that confirms God be crazy. Welcome back to God Be Crazy. If you've been following the podcast very long, you know that a few months back, we switched the frequency that we're releasing new episodes. So we used to release every other week or twice a month, and now we're releasing an episode on the third Wednesday of every month. And whenever that switched, I noticed for myself anyway, that my phone stopped pushing the notifications to me. And so I had to go back into my podcast app and refollow. And so I don't know why it does that. I don't understand technology, but if you have been following the podcast and you notice the same thing, just go ahead and click it and make sure that you're still following. And if you would like to follow or subscribe to the podcast and you don't, please make sure and do that so that you get a notification. Because if you're like me, your life is busy and you don't think, even my favorite shows that I watch and things that I follow, I don't really know whenever those new episodes hit unless I get that notification. So,
out of sight, out of mind sometimes. And that way you'll have that reminder.
Yeah. So on today's episode, we are talking about something that has kind of been churning on us for quite some time. We both love music. And listened to a lot of it. And this song that we'd heard, it's been out for about 2 years now. And it has grated on us for a long time. And so we're going to talk about it today. And it's kind of the topic of the day. So back in 2022, Torrin Wells, who is a Christian artist, right? I mean, yeah. He may cross over, but he's a Christian artist. And he's played a lot on Christian radio. He released a song called Crazy About You. And do you remember whenever this released? Because I remember like the day they started streaming it or playing it on the radio, you called me and you were like, "Friend, there's this song out. You got to listen to it and tell me what you think." And I could tell you had a lot of emotion about it, but I didn't know if it was like, it's awesome or it's terrible. And so it was just passionate. And so I was like, okay. And so I listened to it. Then I called you back and we talked about it. And I was like, that's not true. And I mean, it's half true. There are parts of it that are true, but no. And so we started talking about it and breaking down the lyrics. And we were like, no, this sounds wonderful. Doesn't it sound so good? It's called Crazy About You. If you haven't heard it, obviously you can stream it anywhere. But we're going to read some of the lyrics so you know what we mean. But the song is talking about how God loves you so much. He's just wild about you. He thinks about you all the time, which is true. He does love us. So it's not
I'd say he really does love us. I mean, he laid down his life for us. He died for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree. He is crazy about us. He died for us.
100%. We agree with that part. However, if you break down the lyrics, and I listen to lyrics, you get a few seconds into the song and my ears kind of go, wait a second. And so this line, several lines, he says, "He's never been mad at you. He's only been madly in love. And it's never been about what you do. It's always been about what he's done. It's something you just can't hear enough." Okay, so He's never been mad at you. Okay, Torin. I don't know what kind of life you've lived, but I'm pretty sure he's been mad at me. And I have read the good book. It is open right now in front of me. And it is full of stories that tell me that it's not true. It's not true. Doesn't it sound great, though? He's never been mad at you. He's only been madly in love. Those are very black and white statements. There's never been any time he's been mad at you, and he is only in love with you.
I personally, when I heard this song, it frustrated me because people like an easier, softer way. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I like an easier, softer way too, but when it comes to the Bible and it comes to God and it comes to what He says, easier, softer doesn't apply. It just is God's rule, you know? And the Old Testament is chock full of things that talk about God's wrath and what happens after His wrath. So I can hear, I have friends right now who very much would say to me, Kick, that was Old Testament. We're living in the grace dispensation. We are living in the New Testament. That after the cross, that's done. I simply can't agree because the Bible also talks about God's anger in New Testament books.
Sure does.
And
Many of
because of
them.
that, I cannot get behind this message. It's not just the song. No offense to Torrin Wells. I mean,
And the two other people that wrote
and
it
the
with
other
him.
people that wrote, you know, like, no offense to them. And I'm not meaning to bash him in particular. I just want to bring attention to this feely good gospel that seems to be rampant. There's nothing wrong. Y'all, God does love you. And anybody who tries to tell you different is lying. He loves us so much so that He gave His Son to die for us. And Jesus loves us so much that He died for us willingly and took on our sin and shame and guilt and everything that we could have done.
And he even says in this song, I like these lines. It says, "Now he wears your scars. That's how much he loves you." Yes, Jesus went to the cross. He lived a suffering life for us. And so we want to highlight that as well. He very much loves us, but let's tell the full story here. Let's not whitewash it in like sunshine and rainbows, and say because God is love, that means He loves everything about you and will never not be mad at you because He just loves you so much. As a parent, like I'm thinking, if God is my example of how I want to parent, and kids mess up. I'm God's kid. I mess up. I sin. Every one of us is sinful, and every one of us is going to wrestle with sin. And so I
Well, we
think.
should be wrestling with
Well, you're
sin.
right.
If
We
we
ought to be.
may not all do that, but we all should. Paul gave the best example of that repeatedly throughout the New Testament.
And especially in Romans. And so, with that being said, if we're sinners, we need to be convicted. We need to be called out. God should be mad at us, and He is. And we're going to walk through some of that today, but there's tons of scripture evidence to support that God has been mad at you. I'm sorry if you've been listening to that song for the last year and a half and gone and found so much comfort in it. Actually, I'm not all that sorry. You should know the truth now, to be quite honest. Like, I think even Christian radio and anything that labels itself as Christian in today's era, it would be extremely sage of you to listen with a filter. Because not everything that comes across Christian radio is speaking a full truth. We got a lot of people writing lyrics that sound good but are not biblically based. And so we'll be riding in the car, and I know a handful of times I'm like, okay, kids, he says this, but this is what's true. And so going back to this, there's lots of scripture that says otherwise. He has been mad at you. He's upset at our sin. He's upset. All sin separates us from God. How can he be okay with that?
My thing is, if we say that God understands us because he's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
the three parts that make up the Godhead and make up God.
Mm-hmm.
If he understands us, if he was Christ in the flesh and he walked among us, dwelt among us, took on all of our sin, experienced everything we experienced from sadness, grief, anger, frustration, loss, all the things that we can experience. Mm-hmm. If the Bible is true and those things are accurate, that he did experience all of those things, I cannot fathom how now all of a sudden he's only love. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
If he was capable of those things before, he's capable of those things now. Now, I do know that God does not use his anger the way that we use our anger.
So true.
We right. use ours to get revenge or to justify ourselves or to
feed our ego in some kind of way.
Yeah, feed our ego. Where God uses his anger is completely different. And he is using righteous anger, which is something that is a foreign concept to us a lot of times because that's not how we see things through our lens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big distinction between his anger, which he's incapable of sin and therefore the only trustworthy of anyone that is created in heaven or on earth. And we, in our anger, are in danger.
Yeah.
Because as we well know, when our emotions are more intense, even with the best of intentions and the high moral road,
yeah.
you put fueled, pent-up, intense emotions into, course them through a human body, and all of a sudden it can do a lot of things that are sinful.
Yeah.
And God doesn't run that risk. So he can be mad at us and isn't sinning.
The Bible said he is slow to anger. And in that, he allows us to suffer the consequences of our actions and our choices and delivers judgments on us based on the choices and consequences of our own actions.
Mm-hmm. And he gives us lots of chances. I mean, I'm not saying everybody gets the
yes,
same amount.
He's long-suffering.
Long-suffering. That's what hesed love is, as we've talked about before in other episodes. That word means long-suffering. He is, goodness, it means 100 million different words. I can't remember how many, but he suffers for a long time. The book of Hosea, we've talked about this. The book of Hosea, he tells Hosea to go get Gomer, who is unfaithful. And he does this as an example to show how long suffering he is while we're betraying him and following other things like ourselves or other idols. And he patiently waits in our sin and still loves us. He went to the cross knowing that he would be rejected by most of us. And so that is a huge kind of love, even when we were still sinners. Christ
right.
died for us, as the scripture says. And so, man, that is some kind of love that you would hang out and patiently wait while you keep getting kicked in the face and rejected and, you know, spoke against and slandered and persecuted and all those other things. And he loved his people, you know, in the Old Testament. He talks about the whole Old Testament is about his relationship with Israel and
yeah.
how much he did for them and loved them And
man, there are so many examples of him being mad at them.
Yes.
And being mad at them for their choices, being mad at them for their disobedience, refusing to listen, being mad at them for making idols and worshiping them.
The golden calf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just example after example. Exodus is full of several.
Mm-hmm.
One involving Moses, and he was angry at Moses, and it says he was angry.
If God can be mad at Moses, y'all, take notes.
Who are you that God can't be mad at you?
Yeah.
Or never has been mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
He was mad at Moses. He was mad at the Pharaoh that was oppressing Israel and refusing to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. And so he brought plagues. And many times Pharaoh would say, okay, I'll let your people go. And then he didn't do it. So he was patient in that over and over and over. But what happened is Pharaoh and his entire army was swallowed by the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea and it swallowed them up and they all drowned. That
seems to me to be because God was angry and he was passing judgment on those people.
And no sooner does he pass judgment and kill the Egyptians and Pharaoh, his own people, the Israelites, cross over safely on dry ground. And then shortly thereafter, they start complaining and moaning and griping. And they have a lot of other things that they did in disobedience. And they too were on the receiving end of the wrath of God.
Well, and they would have been under the receiving end of more wrath of God if it hadn't been for Moses.
Yes, who interceded on their behalf when they were being fools. You know,
yes.
They were acting in their sin and worshiping other gods and other idols. And Moses intercedes for the people and God turns from his anger. And we see that in Exodus 32 or so. So you can read more about that if you would like to. And also we will add in the show notes some of these stories so you can reference them if you want to read them in full.
For yourself, as you study and pray with God to show you where he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he does still have anger. He has lots of emotions. He's a jealous God.
Mm-hmm.
He has righteous anger. He mm-hmm. has been grieved. It talks about several places in the Bible. It says that God was grieved. One of those being with the flood.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't specifically say that he was angry, but it said he was grieved with the state of man's heart.
Had deep, deep sorrow.
And so he destroyed them.
And that just goes to show, think about all the emotions we have. We are made in his image and we are made in his likeness. And we serve a God who has a range of emotions. And we should expect that he has a range of emotions, but not unlike us. Like I said earlier, he can't sin, but he has control. He knows exactly how to keep those reined in. He's not making decisions that he's later like, oh, sorry, guys. He doesn't come to us and repent. That's not how it works.
Yeah, he's God. He's
not
infallible.
He's not making those mistakes.
He's not making mistakes.
But he still has all the emotions, which I love that when he sends Jesus in the flesh, who has to go through all of those emotions, he literally has experienced all of those same emotions that we experience, and yet he did not sin. And so I want to serve a God who has all those emotions, because that means to me, it means you get me. And that confirms for me that he understands me and I want him to understand me. But more importantly, I need to be understanding him. I should be, this book, the Bible, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It tells us about the character of God.
Right.
It's important. We think it's so important that he understands and gets us, but really it's quite a bit more important that we get him, that we know who he is and we know who he is not. Because if you're just listening to what people are saying or songs are saying or culture is saying about who is God, the character and nature of God, and you're not looking to the Bible, which is yes. His divine inspired word. He's sovereign, and He wrote the Bible, and He put people in on the earth at different times to write it the way that He wanted it written. And He's powerful, and He could do anything. He could have put any book together, and He somehow put a bunch of people together to do this over time. And that being said, we should be reading this to see what is His character, not what, how much can we get Him to understand our position, but we need to know He is the creator and sustainer of the earth. He's a relational God.
Yeah.
And if you just think about the relationship between two human beings, when one person, well, both people in a relationship are going to hurt each other because we're sinners. But when that happens in a relationship, repentance, we call each other, we should, in a healthy relationship, you confront each other in kindness.
Yeah.
And that model, if you've ever heard that in anywhere in your life, you should confront people with kindness. You should confront people in an assertive way. That came from God. God is the original nice confronter.
Yeah,
you know, He convicts, He instructs. He even did that proactively with the Israelites over and over and over. He gave them a law and gave them, hey, if you do this, it'll go well for you. If you don't do that, it won't go so well for you. And that has been going on since the beginning of time. If we want to pay attention to it, we just have to walk out the consequences. It, you know, but there our flesh pulls on us and it becomes so much harder to do. We want to serve ourselves. But if we would look to the Creator who made it all, it would inform us about how we might ought to live so that the suffering we do endure is worth it. You're going to suffer some kind of way. I don't want to suffer at my own stupid hands.
Right.
Like, I don't want to suffer for that reason. I don't want to be an idiot. Like, I want to learn from my idiot moves. I want to learn from my sinful self. So we got options. You have choices.
Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you're not sure how to turn it into reality? You need Ready, Set, Podcast. They make it super easy to create your own podcast. They can help record, edit, and publish your idea. They have prices to fit any budget and options for both hobbyists and professional podcasters. So if you have an idea, reach out to them for a free consultation on their website or social media at www.readysetpodcast.xyz. Ready, Set, Podcast, turning your brilliant idea into reality.
We, as a society and as a people, we want the easier, softer way. We want the nice way.
The feely good way.
Yeah.
We want a message that sounds good to our ears and our hearts and doesn't hurt. And when we hear in a song that God's not mad at us, that makes us feel good.
Right.
Oh, He only loves us. Oh, that's such a loving God. Thanks, God. But to believe that He actually is mad at you doesn't feel good. It might make you feel guilt, and that doesn't feel so good. It might lead to shame, which might make you upset with yourself, but you should be, because it can correct. Shame and guilt have an ability to correct you. It can also sink you. It can make you, you know, think horrible things about yourself, but it's there to correct. The truth is, anytime we have a knowledge, let's say, of God maybe being mad at us, if we entertain that God is mad at us, then somewhere within that, there might be a truth that we've done something sinful that needs our attention.
Yeah.
So we can correct it. When God's wrath is being poured out, as we know, He's slow to anger, that wrath didn't get there in a millisecond. Like, it came over time. In most instances in Scripture, His people were told on the front end what to do, and they were disobedient. Adam and Eve were told, here are the rules of the garden. You can live here as long as you want to. Just obey these rules. And they chose not to. And
they had punishment and consequences because of those things. It doesn't mean that because there was some form of righteous anger that there is now a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
The two are not separate. They're not two separate
right.
things. You can have, in fact, I think you kind of have to have.
I agree.
If you have, if you care enough about someone and you see them doing things that are harmful to themselves or could potentially cost them eternal life or cause harm to them,
mm-hmm.
if you love them, you want to correct that.
Yes.
And that is the kind of love and correction that God offers us, his children. It is that love and connection and that
relationship.
That relationship. But to me, what is a relationship with God if you don't have that? Because if God is never mad at you and everything's perfect, if we're all good now since Christ died on the cross and there's not any consequences to our actions to come because everything was defeated on the cross, then why in the New Testament does Paul say we need to die to our flesh daily? Why do his letters to the church reflect a lot of God's anger in reprimanding the churches for their sinful behaviors and their disregard for God?
Mm-hmm.
He is a great example in Romans. He talks about how he is a wretch and mm-hmm. how that there's nothing within himself that is good and how he struggles and fights with his own flesh daily. He says that my spirit is strong. When he says my spirit is strong, he's talking about the Holy Spirit
yes.
that resides inside him because he is a Christian. And because of that, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of him. That's God, the Holy Spirit living in him. And that part of him is strong. That's the only part of him that is strong. And he's saying, my spirit is in. I am all in, sold out.
I
want to do the good things. My flesh is weak. His carnal mind, his carnal mm-hmm. self, the same that we are, y'all. We are flesh. We are walking in these human bodies. We sin. We make mistakes. If that weren't true, there would be no need. There would have been no need for the cross.
Mm-hmm. And it's a striving. It's not, oh, well, he's gone to the cross, so now, like, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So I can, because of the cross, I can just act like however I want to, right? That is not what it says. It says there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, but you have to stay in Christ Jesus.
Right.
That is a daily choice. You're making choices. How many choices do we make throughout the day? Your choices are putting you on one road or another
yes.
every day. Your heart is turning towards one and feeding one or another. You don't serve two masters. It does not happen.
Right.
Even if you think you can. If you think, I'm going to serve God, but I also want these things. I'm not giving up these things in my life. You're not actually serving God if you're keeping those around intentionally.
And the truth is that we want both.
Mm-hmm.
We want to go to church on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays and meet with our life groups and hear a lesson and talk about how good God is to us and thank him for our many blessings. And you call your many blessings your very nice house and very nice car and fancy clothes and luxury vacations you get to take, and those are your many blessings. Well, there are blessings that go way beyond those things that are because of the relationship that you have with God. If you have a true relationship with God, we like to talk about those things and everything's good then, but what happens? What happens when you suffer for God's sake? Well, Paul says we will suffer for God's sake and that we should count it joy. How then does it look? If God sees us suffering and doesn't do anything, do we say then he's not a loving God?
Yeah.
No, we don't. He is a loving God. He's mm-hmm. still sovereign.
And sometimes we suffer at the sin of other people. And sometimes other people suffer at our sin.
At our sin. And that's the
God
same.
God should be mad about that.
If he sees us treating someone unjust, is that justified anger for him? Of course it is, because we are his children and we are supposed to be living in his image. And he says, treat people as you want to be treated. Treat them better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Think of them before you think of yourself. And mm-hmm. we all cringe because we're like, wait, what? I mean, yes, that's what the Bible says, but it really means like after I'm good, right? Like make sure I'm good and then make sure everybody's good. No, actually, it's the opposite of that. But that's not how we want to live, because that doesn't necessarily feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, as Paul said, are wretched. There's no good in us. We are sinners. But Christ in us, that is what gives us the redeeming quality. And it's not ours in and of ourselves. It's mm-hmm. Christ in us.
Mm-hmm. So that none of us
can boast.
Yeah. Yeah. I just kind of also want to hit home something you just said about, it kind of sounds like we want to decide when God should be angry about things and when he shouldn't. Like we want God to be real mad about the person who's harmed us. But
right.
Like how many of us are like, God, you should be mad at me. And I don't know if you are, you know, like it works both ways. Like
we want to justify and rationalize our behaviors and the reasons why it should be okay for us to step outside these boxes. But mm-hmm. if it's someone doing those things to us or someone that we care about, that's a different story and it should be met with a different response.
Right. And no, that's not the case. And so therefore we do want to serve a God. If you really break it down, I know I want to serve a God who gets angry about sin, and it gets angry about my sin so much because he loves me,
because he
that
loves
he
us.
Wants to pursue me to convict me and correct me so that I turn from my sin and I turn back to him and I repent. Because if I do that, when you repent from a wrong that you have done with a human to human, what that does, if you are sincere and you are remorseful and you go to that person and you repent and you say, I am sorry, I did this thing, I am grieved by it. There is a repair that can happen that changes the relationship. It's the same way with God. If we don't come to him and acknowledge that we're sorry, and we don't even think we are because God's good with us, you know, if we don't ever get convicted, how are we ever going to turn and do something different? And then when we turn and do something different and we repent, that looks like repentance, we get the benefit of a gracious God who says, I forgive you and I love you. And we know that because the community and the connection and the relationship becomes restored. And when you have a restored relationship with God, that is what we should be chasing. We're chasing a relationship with this creator who loves us and we want to know him. And when you know him, your suffering is different. Your life on earth is different. It's not that it's easy.
Right. And it doesn't hurt. It's not that it isn't hard.
And I think we should tell the whole story. I feel like, you know, in church today, and I've been in a lot of them all across the spectrum, I hear a lot of messages that sound really good, and some of them just aren't fully true. Whenever we call people to come have a relationship with God, we need to tell the full story. Hey, and this is not a cakewalk.
Nope.
This is not a ticket to an easy, fun, blessed life. And I put that in quotes, like it's where you're going to be prosperous and things are going to go well for you. Coming to Christ is about having a relationship with God, a relationship with the Holy Spirit, knowing who he is and having a relationship with him, that changes your life. It makes life easier to live in some parts, but he calls you to suffer for his righteousness' sake.
And we have to stay in a relationship with him. We should be seeking a relationship with him constantly. Mm-hmm. And that requires us being aware of his emotions and what he says and how he feels and his character just as much as, you know, we want
to
be known.
And dying to ourselves.
Yes.
Because you can't have a relationship, a real relationship with him, if you're not willing to die to yourself, because that is what he says. He says, whoever lays down his life for my name's sake, he will live.
Yeah. Whoever gives up their life will find it.
Yeah.
And so as that wrath, like we talk about the wrath, the purpose of the wrath is to call us to repentance so we come home, like the prodigal son. You know, he got to do whatever he wanted. He went and he like had his fun or whatever, and he was in pig slop, I think, as the story goes. I can't remember, but he returns home after he's done all that, and he's got no money, and he's, you know, lived kind of a wild life, and his father greets him readily. You know,
yeah,
and
that example being that even if you walk away from God, if you are repentant, God will accept you back, and not just accept you back, but bring you back to the table,
mm-hmm.
clothe you in the finest garments, mm-hmm. like you are his if you come back. The thing I want to caution you. You know, you made a comment, and I think it was just a slip. Like you okay. said, he got to do whatever he wanted, like it was an exciting thing. Or like, I know that's not how you meant it, but mm-hmm. it's great that you said it that way because it brings up this point.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people, I used to be one of them, who lived their life thinking they had plenty of time. Like they were raised in church, or maybe grandma and grandpa took them, or mom and dad told them, but now they're grown and they grew up in it and they believed it, but then they got out and aren't living mm-hmm. that life. And they think, oh yeah, I believe God's real, and I'll get back to that at some point. I want to say that as a caution because of that. Yeah. It just flashed me whenever you said this, like we aren't promised tomorrow. As we all know, my dad suddenly passed away 2 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't promised that minute, that day, that I'm not promised that I'll be here tomorrow. If I choose to live a life that isn't pleasing to God and I'm not walking in a relationship with him, that's a dangerous place to be. And mm-hmm. the prodigal son, that's an example of how God will accept you back if you come home. The prodigal son came home. What if you don't have the opportunity to come home because God's calling you and calling you and calling you, and you just think you have a little more time?
Or you don't care.
What if you don't,
yeah.
though?
What
if
you
don't have more time?
Yeah.
So the prodigal son is an example of God's graciousness and his patience with us and his love for us and how he accepts us. It's also a warning to us.
Not everybody gets enough life to come home.
Yeah, not everyone gets that. We've talked about this before, just you and I in conversation. You know, some people, we're only promised one opportunity. The Bible says that everybody will have the chance to know God.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's promised an opportunity. We get a choice. Some people get lots of choices. Some people are chased and chased. And I think God chases us all. But
I do too.
Some people get lots of choices and some people don't get many.
Yeah.
We don't understand and we can't fathom the whys or the hows or the whos. Like that's above our pay grade.
Yeah.
Cause that's God's department. All we know is that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when our time is up. We don't know how many chances we will get. if God is pursuing you and you feel him calling you, if he's talking to you, if you feel drawn to church, to repent, to learn more about him, please, please, I'm going to be praying for you guys all this month. Those people that are feeling that call, I pray that you will heed it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how or what that looks like, or it's confusing, reach out to someone. You know someone in your life that knows who God is. And if you don't, walk in to a church. Ask someone to help you.
Or email us. Email we put our contacts. We will talk to you. It's heartbreaking that some people will run out of time who had the intent at some point down the road, someday maybe, to get back to God. And some people don't care at all. You know, some people, and you have the choice, like what I was saying about the prodigal son, he had a choice to live how he wanted to live, and he chose to leave and not follow his father's teaching and not follow the Lord's teaching. We can do whatever we want. I tell my kids all the time, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't mean it's good for you or beneficial.
Right.
And
you will have consequences for your actions.
You will pay for what you choose to do. But yeah, you can do whatever you want, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be beneficial to you. So think about that. And God has wrath against those who don't turn. He says, makes it very clear in Romans 1, that he will give people over to their sinful desires.
That's right.
If you want to keep sinning, you get to. You can do what you want, but you will pay for it. Eventually with your life, you'll be out of relationship with God forever. He's the wrath, or the, even, I don't think it starts with wrath, the conviction, the gentle touch, even like the ways that he tries to get your attention well before the wrath are his loving kindness poured out on us. And I think that this is just my opinion, and it is just an opinion, but what I hear from generations much older than me is they heard so much about the wrath of God and it turned them off. And so now we have a generation of, you know, preachers and pastors and leaders who have swung the other direction and want to just preach all about the love and grace and forgiveness of God. But there's both sides of it. Both are present. God is a loving God, and he also corrects. He corrects those he loves. Proverbs is full of the scripture that says, like a good father who corrects his son, that's what God does. He corrects the son he loves. And so we would be foolish to think that if even an idiot parent, even like the most brainless parent knows that correction and discipline helps a child, even if they don't want to do it, they know that it's probably best. I mean, it's pretty collective that you should correct your child and you should train them in, you know, what they should do so that they will be wise and not foolish. And if that is known to the simplest of humans, then how much more this intelligent creator and sustainer of the whole earth would he do that? Of course he's going to correct you if he loves you. Why would he want you to be repeating all sorts of mistakes and sins and problem patterns that are only going to wreck your life and the lives of those around you? So if you feel God tugging at you, or if you feel convicted, I hope that you hear that this is love. And also, none of us is without sin.
Yep.
We talk every day, you and I, like we have to repent and realize every day that
every single day,
no matter who you are, you're a sinner. And you have to evaluate your heart and your mind and your words, your relationship, all the time. You never get to hang it up and go, you know what? I've done pretty good. I can take a step back now. So that's not going to happen.
If you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, it's your job not to let this go off your radar. If you let the people you love and the relationships that you care about or anything you love and value, if you don't continue to take care of it, it doesn't get taken care of.
It doesn't
thrive.
It
falls apart. It is gonna go bad. You know, if you care about having a relationship with your spouse or a friend, you better spend time with them. You better take care of that relationship. You better communicate. You better repent from, you know, the mistakes that you make in that relationship. If you care about your work, you probably go there then, and you probably spend time and energy and focus on that place. And so if something matters to you, you spend time evaluating it. And
that's just it. If God matters to you and your relationship with God matters to you, how much time are you spending cultivating that relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a confession to make. My Bible sat on my nightstand for a week. And I was like, I picked it up and I was like, I don't think I've opened this in a week. Now, I have looked on at my Bible phone, and that's one way, but I like to pick up the actual pages and read. And particularly, God's been on me about reading a specific book, and I have honestly not picked it up this week to read. That may not be sin for you, but it is for me, because I know that I should have done that, and I know that God was calling me to it, and I didn't do it. So that is sin for me, and I have to repent from that. And so when I picked it up, I was like, I did one of those, you know, the emoji with all the teeth. Like, sorry, like, shouldn't have done that. Okay. And I have to do better. It's not like, oh yeah, sorry, my bad. And then it sits there for another week. That doesn't happen. If I truly believe that His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, I need a light in this world, and it needs to be open. So whatever sin you're convicted in, you know, you got it. You know, you can't get rid of the pull that it has on you, but you can fight it with Him, and you can ask Him to fight your battles with
for
you, and for you.
Yeah. But you have to make a choice. Like, God will be there with you. He will guide you. But sometimes it takes an action on our part.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it takes an action on our part.
Agreed.
And that's, may not be a popular opinion, but that's just how I believe that God has communicated to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the opportunity to read in Romans, you can read all about Paul and about the ways that he recognizes that he needs to die to self and cling to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we would be wise to do the same.
So heed that soft, tender call before it becomes the wrath of God.
Thanks for listening to the God Be Crazy podcast. If the message of the podcast resonates with you, please make sure to subscribe or follow so that you never miss an episode. We also encourage you to rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. By doing this, you may help others hear the podcast as well. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or just share it the good old-fashioned way. Talk about it with the people in your life. It is our hope that you will be blessed and strengthened by the truth and crazy love of God.